this time of year, as people prepare for Christmas, there's a kind of a natural sentiment, a kind of happy approach. You know, you get out your Christmas lights and green and red tablecloth and start baking, getting ready for the Noche Buena or whatever. And there's kind of a warm feeling that goes with it. And that's all fine, that's natural. In Advent, though, there is also a very strong, almost violent aspect. We haven't gotten yet to John the Baptist, who, you know, is kind of a striking, he's a rabble-rouser, and he fulfills the prophecy. I think this comes up on Sunday. Maybe you've already looked ahead to next Sunday, where the prophecy is about the Lord leveling the mountains and filling in the valleys. And John the Baptist comes to do this. He's going to tear down mountains and fill in valleys. It's almost violent in the upheaval that is necessary to prepare the way for the Lord. Well, that comes to mind in light of today's readings, because in the first reading, the prophet speaks about humbling the lofty city, not just humbling it, but tearing it down to the ground, leveling it to the dust, and it gets trampled by the footsteps of the poor. Well, that's a pretty strong image. And then in the gospel, Jesus speaks about a house that gets attacked by storms, winds, rain, floods, and it collapses and is completely ruined. So these are strong images of tearing things down. It's not the kind of thing we usually think of when we're thinking about preparing for Christmas. But it's important because there is a work of getting rid of obstacles to God, which we must cooperate with. God does most of the work, but we have to work with Him, cooperate with Him. Part of the reason why this has struck me is because yesterday I was doing my work of editing the meditations for the Anuam Way, and I came across a meditation that was about the experience of Peter when he was first called. Remember, he had been fishing all night and he didn't catch anything, and then Jesus gets into his boat and tells him to go out into deep water. And the ponderer, reflecting on this, was trying to get into the experience of Peter and why he had to suffer that long night of fruitless toil and come back to shore with an empty boat. And the ponderer was saying, oh, what? He must have felt like a failure. I mean, here, this man is a fisherman. His whole life is to catch fish, and he spends the whole night and he doesn't catch any fish. So he's ruined, he's humiliated, he's a failure. And if he had been, using today's image, if he had been building his identity on catching fish, well, his identity has been knocked down. His boat is empty. Now, there could be many natural reasons why fish don't get into a net, I suppose, you know, tides and whatever, weather conditions, and who knows. But God used that experience of his being, of Peter, or Simon Peter's being humbled, to prepare the way for Jesus to get into the boat and a miraculous catch of fish. So that I have in the back of my mind, because the ponderer was reflecting on that. And then the ponderer connected the experience of Simon Peter to the modern, our current condition in the pandemic. And so the ponderer said, well, maybe this pandemic and all these losses, businesses shutting down, people losing their jobs, disruption of social life, and all the things that we know so well. The ponderer said, well, maybe God is using the pandemic to empty our boat, to create a space for him to do something new. So we have a we have space for the new catch of fish. I thought it was quite an interesting thing to ponder, and I guess it stuck in my head. It comes to mind in relation to these images of tearing down the city and the collapse of the house. And this is a very frequent question in the minds of people who suffer. They say, why did God allow this to happen to me? And it's true, God does allow us, or sometimes even directly imposes on us, hardships. And so people, maybe they don't come to you, but they come to the priest and say, well, I thought God said that he loved me. Why did he make my house burn down? I thought he loved me. Why did my son die? You know, why do I have cancer? Or whatever. So we have all kinds of storms in life. And this does raise the question. Well, there's, of course, lots of natural explanations for different things. Just like there's natural explanations for fish not getting into a net or for a virus spreading around the world. Some people are preoccupied with trying to find out whether the virus was accidental or deliberate, you know, whether some evil men in a laboratory created this to afflict the world. Well, I don't know if we can solve that question, but it doesn't matter if we look at it from the perspective of God. If God is allowing us to pass through a hardship, whether he uses natural means or even uses evil men, he's doing it in order to tear down our pride, in order to let the house which is on the wrong foundation collapse. It's hard to say to a person whose house collapsed that that's a good thing. It's hard to say that. But if we step back a little bit, we say, well, at least your sandy foundation has been exposed and you can build on rock now. It's not good to have a house built on sand, no matter how much you love it, how beautiful it is. It's a precarious situation. And when we build our life on anything other than the will of God, well, then we're in a dangerous situation. So if we build our life on our achievements, on being successful fishermen, on being good builders, on how much money we have made or how well we have established our reputation, well, that's weak foundation. Weak foundation. If we build on economics, if we build on politics, if we build on social networking, weak foundation. We're going to have to collapse in order to get back on the rock. I read an article recently about how social networks are weakening people's self-worth, especially young girls, you know, adolescent girls, 12 years old. The girls that age have a very strong need for peer acceptance, more than any age group of any in the human family, this especially girls. And so when they get on their Instagrams or whatever their social network is, they're devastated when people are critical of them. And it's ruining their, what should be a time of growth in their self-knowledge and self-worth. See, but my point is, if you're going to build your life on what people on your social network think of you, you're building on sand. Now, a 12-year-old girl can't know that. They're not mature enough to be able to sort that out, but that's why we have to help them. But people are doing this all the time, building their identity, building their self-worth, their understanding of why they're even in this world on something that's not solid. Something as fragile as an ideology or a bank account. Jesus says, no, put these words into practice. Listen to these words and act on them. That's the rock foundation, the word of God, and act it upon, not just heard, but act it upon. We make decisions based on the word, striving to live according to the will of God. That's a solid foundation. that's the main message. Let me add one footnote here. This is especially for the unawim, the unawim, excuse me, the unawim are the poor. Notice at the end of today's prophecy from Isaiah, when the prophet says that, you know, trust in the Lord's an eternal rock, the lofty city will be trampled underfoot by the needy, by the footsteps of the poor. The poor, if you look at the Hebrew, the word for poor is the same word that's at the root of the word anawim, the ani, anawim, the poor. And the message to us is, if you want to trust, if you want to build on rock, you have to be poor. You have to have poverty of spirit. Because if we don't have poverty of spirit, our tendency will always be to build on our richness. Go back to Peter in the boat. If his boat was full of fish, if he was a successful fisherman that day, he might not have had any space to hear the word of Jesus calling him. He would not have had to go back out into deep water. He would not have had to go back out and cast a net and experience a miracle, because he already had a boat full of fish. But because he was poor, because he experienced his need, he was ready to build his life on something new, on the will of God, on the word of Jesus. It says here that the poor are going to trample underfoot the ruins of the lofty city. Because the city is built on sand, I'm talking about the worldly city, built on sand, and the poor are built on rock. So that's a message about how to live the anawim spirituality. Build on rock. It's not that we're deliberately trampling on anybody, but the life of someone who has poverty of spirit has so much more security that it becomes obvious in contrast to those whose lives are built on worldly values. So, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. It's better to take refuge in the Lord, meaning to build on the solid rock of his will, than anything. Princes, man, money, social or political or economic structures, anything. So let's, as we continue our Advent journey, let's build on rock.